Folkcast 029 for May 2008. Yes, it's May, so get your pole out and bedeck it with ribbons. As Mr. Richard Thompson here so rightly observes, summer is indeed in coming in. Good stuff, Richard. That song is from his double album, A Thousand Years of Popular Music, by the way. But we'll have to cut you short, because I have reason to believe that such glib talk about summer coming in could be the absolute kiss of death. Oh, and Richard, careful of that scorpion, mate. I don't want to go any further into that whole seasonal observation thing, because if you cast your mind back 12 months to last May, we played a whole series of songs about the end of winter and the joys of spring and the coming of summer and how lovely and wonderful it all is. And then, in Britain at least, we had the worst, most miserable, wettest summer since Adam was a lad. I'm not sure whether those two things, our musical programme and the meteorological proceedings of 2007, we're in any way connected, but it's best not to take any chances. Ah, that's better. Right, well, welcome to Folkcast. We're the independent podcast from the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, also known as the UK. If you're new here, this is how it works. Folkcast is a podcast, what you download off the interweb, and you listen to it via your ears. We play all kinds of fab tunes that fall into one of the following categories: folk, folk rock, singer-songwriter, or roots-based music. And all you need do is, using those ears, remember, listen to the sounds and adjudge each according to its merits and your particular prejudices, needs, requirements, likes, dislikes, and proclivities. But what if there's something that particularly tickles your fancy, eh? What then? You're desperate to hear more of the same, but how do you get it? What's to be done? Fear not. Simply go to folkcast.co.uk and find your way to the show notes, where you'll find full details of what we're playing, when in the show we play it, who it's by, and how you can find out more. Then get your credit card out and buy a CD from a reputable source. Or maybe just go to the website and illegally download more of their stuff. That's up to you. I pass no judgment, especially not on nasty, evil pirates who illegally download music. Who am I, you ask? I'm Phil Widows, and I'll be your host for the next hour and a bit, should you choose to stick my finger in your ear, as we say on Folkcast. Now, normally at this point, we'd hear from my fellow in folk, my comrade in casting, the one and only Ken Nicol. But not this month, because he's done a bunk with some flimsy excuse of having to do a national tour with some band called Steely Dan, or Steely Spam, or something like that. So unless he manages to get in touch from his remote location somewhere in a greasy B&B in a market town somewhere in England, it'll just be me, I'm afraid. And while we wait for that eventuality, let's begin the musical feast proper. And what better way to start a folk podcast than a folk song called Folk Song Song?
Folk songs can tell us tales about the times we live and help remind us of what's past. To our sons we can leave some signs, so like our fathers we might last. And fights, and everybody has their song. The minds alike, it's a place to embrace, unite your right and fight. face you're on. And so I'll try to sing some songs about this place which I belong. Taste my blood and then I'll let it bleed. I'm one man with my fire and with my truth I'll share my wine. So
like New Year's Eve was yesterday, but spring has just begun, and I can still feel the summer sun. I think I must be 20 soon, I'll be past 31. It feels like days are on the run. About it, really thought I knew. When I was younger, days were never done. Those endless, boring strings of days got shorter every year. My mornings fly, my nights are on the run. Another on my wall, they tick and talk and lie to everyone. I hope that they could keep it still, I know they never will. Their hours are seconds, years are on the run.
Mondays with On The Run. Stormy Mondays is a roots rock band from Spain, centred around main man Jorge Otero. He got in touch with us via our MySpace page and said the magic words, "We love Folkcast, please play our song." And so we did. Before the Stormies was another European contribution. Plunkett is a duo made up of married couple Ian and Lara. He's English and she's Italian, and they live in Italy. Folk Song Song is a song from their brand new album, Folk songs, which Ian describes as having an alternative contemporary folk rock sound. And why not? Right then, coming up in the show, we'll be going around the world in 80 Folks, our virtual tour of the globe to hear folk songs in other languages, or about specific locations, and this time we're off to Austria. We'll be heading down under once again for the concluding part of our folk guru Baba's exploration of the folk history of transportation to Australia, and we'll have a bit of a Celtic input with new songs from Scotland's Battlefield Band and Ireland's Keeler. There'll be some news of some live dates that you can drag yourself along to, and before that, we'll play some weird folk from a new compilation called When the Moon Was Red. This is 12,000 Days.
Thank you.
cuts from the new compilation album titled When the Moon Was Red, and that's just been released by Woven Wheat Whispers. It features four bands that are part of the Cryptanthus Productions stable. That's Orcus, Kunin, 12,000 Days, and Temple Music. First we heard Gardens of the Wild Stars by 12,000 Days, and then it was Alpha Beta Gamma Delta by Temple Music. And you can find out more about all those bands and download the album for Next and Out at Woven Wheat Whispers. Follow the link in our show notes, please. Now, lots of music's reaching us these days from people who've heard previous editions of Folkcast and want to get involved with the show. And that's fantastic. Here's a couple of songs from people who've done just that, beginning with Rocks of Rodal, by a band that's only been together for 6 months, and they've already started making a name for themselves. This is Kiss the Mistress.
Hip to the Murray, hip to the Murray, hip hoop to the Murray, gang, with me to the show. Hip to the Murray, hip to the Murray, hip hoop to the Murray, gang, with me to the show. Fresh dozen mussels, fresh sea dozen mussels, pulling fresh dozen mussels by the rocks of Rodal. Fresh dozen mussels, fresh sea dozen mussels, pulling fresh dozen mussels by the rocks of Rodal. Hink to the Murray, hink to the Murray, hook to the Murray, gang with me to the shore. Hink to the Murray, hink to the Murray, hook to the Murray, gang with me to the shore. Berlin's a passing out to sunset, passing see the Berlin's a passing by the rocks of Rodal. Berlin's a passing out to sunset, passing see the Berlin's a passing by the rocks of Rodal. Hink to the Murray, hink to the Murray, hook to the Murray, gang with me to the shore. Hink to the Murray, hink to the Murray, hook to the Murray, gang with me to the shore. Thank you.
and we'll all raise a glass in his name. Now he lies neath the clay of a land far away, and a single red rose marks his grave. It was not for his queen or his country, not for his loved ones back home. It was all about oil on some Middle East soil. We remember a Lancashire hero. Young Daniel McCoy was a likeable boy, Lancashire through to the core. He couldn't get a trade, so he joined the brigade with a promise of adventure in store. He did 20 weeks basic training, where he learned how to march, shoot and kill. Then with pack on his back, he was shipped to Iraq, a peacekeeping role to fulfill. We remember a Lancashire hero, and we'll all raise a glass in his name. Now he lies neath the clay of a land far away, and a single red rose marks his grave. It was not for his queen or his country, not for his loved ones back home. It was all about oil on some Middle East soil. We remember a Lancashire hero. Now Basra's no place for a Lancashire face, all alone and with nowhere to hide. There's no one to trust amidst the sand and the dust, stirred up by the riots outside. He picked up his young wounded comrade from the vehicle's burning front seat. Then leaving his gun, he started to run to the opposite side of the street. We remember a Lancashire hero, and we'll all raise a glass in his name. Now he lies neath the clay of a land far away, and a single red rose marks his grave. It was not for his queen or his country, for his loved ones back home. It was all about oil on some Middle East soil. We remember a Lancashire hero. He protected his friend right up to the end, but the odds against him, they were stacked. He took one in the neck, then two in the chest, and one in the small of the back. He was glad when the fighting was over, as he slowly fell down to the ground. And just for that last breath, in between life and death, he was back in his Lancashire town, where we remember our Lancashire hero. And we've all raised a glass in his name. Though he lies neath the clay in a land far away, there's a single red rose marks his grave. It was not for his queen or his country, not for his loved ones back home. It was all about oil on some Middle East soil. We remember a Lancashire hero. We remember a Lancashire hero.
Well, here I am sat in Preston at the heart of Lancashire, the Red Rose County, so I just had to play that last song. Lancashire Hero was written by Trouble at Mill, who are a well-known bunch of folkies in the Preston area, after seeing a headline in the Lancashire Evening Post about a soldier from the county who'd been killed in the current horror show in Iraq. That headline was, "We Remember a Lancashire Hero." And the weird thing is that in my day job, I write headlines for the Lancashire Evening Post, and I'm pretty sure that that was one of mine. It's a small world, sure enough, but I wouldn't want to sand it down and give it two coats of gloss. My thanks go to Graham Dixon from Trouble at Mill for sending that song along to Folkcast. Good work, sir. It certainly has sentiments that I'd like to be associated with. Now, from a Lancashire hero to Mr. Preston's Hornpipe, which comes to you from Zooks. That's Linda Game on fiddle and mando, Joe May on percussion, and Becky Mende on sax, whistles and contrabassoon. Just to confuse things, Zooks, that's spelled Z-O-O-X, are from Buckinghamshire and have nothing to do with Preston at all.
Thank you.
can't keep Ken Nicol off Folkcast, no matter how I try. That was the lad himself, from the days when he was in the Albion Band, with a set of tunes of his own composing that he called Ken's Hornpipes. Now, when Ashley Hutchings, the boss of the Albions, heard the tunes, he apparently said to Ken, "Great set of tunes, Ken, but they ain't hornpipes." But anyway, by then the title was written and it struck, and so ever since... Ooh, what's this? Ha! It's a message from Ken! He's communicating via Morse code! What's that, Ken? That hornpipe story is mine. Stop. Don't nick it. Stop. I'll be forced to sue if you don't stop. Now, steady on, Ken. I think he's gone dash dotty, listeners. Anyway, before Ken's tunes, we had Mr. Preston's Hornpipes by Zooks, as in Gadzooks. Do you get the connection? Ken is, of course, Mr. Preston. And I'm not sure that Zook's tune was a hornpipe either. But then, I'm not an expert on sailors' dances of the 17th century. So who knows? Ooh, I know who knows. Baba! Our folk guru knows all about that kind of stuff. And maybe one day he'll tell us all about hornpipes. Maybe he's done that already. I don't know. But this month, he's rather more serious matters on his mind as he concludes his two-part special all about the rather bothersome subject of transportation to Australia. Take it away, Baba.
And welcome to the second and final part of our special on transportation. If you didn't catch last month's Folkcast, perhaps some imbalance of the humours kept you abed, in which case I can only offer my sympathy and recommend a tincture of woodlouse for all the tales, you. Or maybe this is your first Folkcast, in which case I'll offer a hearty welcome and a swift canter through what you've missed. The exiling of criminals to British colonies, or transportation, began in the 17th century as a way to allow those who were convicted of capital crimes to achieve redemption rather than die as sinners on the gallows. And that was all very fine and high-minded, right up until somebody realised that transportation equaled free labour and big profits for colonial landowners. And they realised that about 3 minutes after the first prison ship left for the colonies. Exile was for 7 or for 14 years, or for life if you were one of those evil renegades who went around injuring bridges. Oh look, you really ought to download last month's. This'll all make so much more sense. So, if our convict survived the cholera and the dysentery and the prison ships that took him or her to exile, what could they expect when they landed? Well, a life of unremitting misery, frankly. In Australia, about 10% were put to work on government farms and projects such as building roads and harbours. The other 90% were assigned to work for settlers, where there was every chance that they'd be treated brutally and fed very little. One convict wrote, "We have to work from 14 to 18 hours a day, sometimes up to our knees in cold water, until we are ready to sink with fatigue." Perhaps the best opportunity to avoid the punishing regime was for those who were educated, because those few convicts who could read and write to a reasonable standard were given jobs as record keepers to the administration. If any group could be considered even the least bit fortunate, it was the children who'd been transported. Oh yes, children could be sentenced to transportation from the age of 9 years onwards. They were considered too young or ignorant for assignment to a job, so they were instead separated from adult convicts and given a basic education. They were taught a trade, they were instructed in religion, and they were punished for bad behaviour, but they probably got a better chance in life than if they'd stayed in Britain. So life for the convict, then, was nasty and brutish. However, while the advantages were very few, there were one or two. Look, here's Rachel and John Bowyer with the tale of how one young man found himself transported, yet all the while claiming to be innocent. Yeah, they'll all tell you that they're innocent.
In a neat little town they call Belfast, to stray from the land, far away from my friends and relations, betrayed by the black velvet band. Into my hand. Then she gave me in charge to the policeman. Bad luck to the black velvet band. Now before the Lord Mayor I was taken, my guilt they proved quite plain. Mistaken, I should have to cross the salt main. Now it's 16 long years have they gave me to plough upon Van Diemen's land, far away from my friends and relations, a curse on the black velvet band. Take warning from me. Whenever you're out of the liquor, beware of them pretty colleens. They'll treat you to whiskey and porter till you are not able to stand. And the very next thing that you know, my lads, you'll end up in Van Diemen's land.
One thing offered the convict a tiny measure of protection. Convicts had legal rights. They weren't slaves, they weren't property, and as such, they couldn't be physically punished by the government or by their masters without the approval of a judge. Unfortunately, this approval was usually given without much examination of evidence. However, from 1800 onwards, there was a reward for good behaviour. The ticket of leave. A convict who earned a ticket of leave won the right to work for themselves, to live independently, and to marry if they wished. There was a downside, though. The administration no longer had to feed them or give them shelter, so it was obviously a lot cheaper. And the convicts were still watched, and the ticket could be withdrawn for bad behaviour. A man who'd been transported for 7 years could earn a ticket in 4 years. Those under a 14-year sentence could earn theirs in 6, whilst those transported for life could earn it after 10 years' continuous good conduct. Now, women, who made up some 20% of those transported, could earn their ticket of leave by good behaviour just like the men, or they had another option, they could get married. Women were scarce in the colonies, and it was felt that if they married, their husbands would take over the responsibilities for rehabilitating them. Yeah. Women, though, who wanted to escape the convict life for one of domesticity, couldn't be too obvious in communicating that. Because one of the offences that female convicts could be punished for was, and I quote, being found in the yard of an inn in an indecent posture for immoral purposes. Well, once a convict had served their sentence, whether it be 7 years or 14 years, they were offered a choice. They could return to Britain at no charge and in a little comfort in one of the prison ships that was sailing home. Now, that would mean months at sea, and the rats and the diseases on board didn't go ashore with the cargo of convicts that the ship had brought. The ex-convict would be returning to an uncertain future, with no job, with a family who'd probably not seen them for, what, 7, 14 years? And, no doubt, a sweetheart who had promised to wait. Again, yeah. Yet, to settle the colonies required, well, settlers. So, the government offered former convicts a package deal. They could have free land, they could have free tools, seed, livestock, and they'd, what's more, give them enough food for 1 year. And there was also free labour in the form of, what else? Convicts! So given these choices, most ex-convicts chose to stay. And many fine families in Britain's Commonwealth can trace their roots back to a transported man or woman from Britain. The public view of transportation, though, began to change around the middle of the 19th century. As the majority of convicts were not locked up, people felt that transportation was an inappropriate punishment. In the words of one objector, it does not deliver a just measure of pain. Oh, and can't you immediately picture what a fun person they were? Transportation to New South Wales, though, was officially abolished in 1850, and to Van Diemen's Land in 1853, where the residents immediately changed the name of the place to Tasmania and looked really innocent when tourists asked about the penal colony. What really finished transportation to Australia, though, was the discovery of gold, which brought thousands of new settlers to colonise the land. There was no need for convict labour. Sending there was costly, the public was against it. And the last convict to be transported stepped ashore in Western Australia in 1868. Transportation had almost no effect on crime in Britain. The government tried to deter criminals by portraying transportation as an awful punishment, but the number of ex-convicts who chose to stay on as free men and women told its own tale. What transportation did accomplish, though, was the creation of a new nation, ironically known for its law-abiding people and its low crime rate. Transportation worked. It just didn't work the way that it had been intended to. Ah, I see that Phil is rather pointedly looking at his watch, and more specifically, he's mouthing, come on, ain't you got a cave to go to? So I assume our time is up for another month. Until next time then, fare thee well.
Cheers, Baba, and thanks to John and Rachel Bowyer, too, for their version of the transportation-inspired folk song The Black Velvet Band. You know, some versions of that song include the line, I met with a young gay deceiver while cruising the Ratcliffe Highway, the meaning of which was rather different 150 years ago than it will be today. And that's the thing with songs, they become snapshots of the times in which they were written. Unless, and until, that magical thing, the folk process, takes a hand and adapts them for changing times and differing sensibilities. Now, I'm not the greatest fan of that great mass of folk music that gets labelled Celtic, mostly because a lot of it's just an excuse for rambling, overlong noodling, all over jigs and reels. But as Ken always points out to me, there's good and bad in just about every musical genre, and these next two songs are a couple of Celtic crackers. First, from their latest album, Dookin, we've got a set of tunes from Scotland's Battlefield Band, and then from Ireland, from their new album, Gambler's Ballet, it'll be Keeler. Set your toes to tap. Here we go.
Oscar Cortini, Cartoon Slender, Lonnie and the Hawk. tata Herados, Mishap Yonoche Sambor, we bo, Lani Ego, and tata Herados, Mishap Yonoche Sambor, we bo.
Called Half Eight, and partly called something else in Gaelic that I'm not going to attempt to wrap my English tonsils round. It was by Irish band Keela. They were formed in 1987 and have just released their seventh album called Gambler's Ballet. And before them, from Scotland, and now on what I reckon is their 29th album, hard-working bunch, it was the Battlefield Band, with a couple of tunes, Dukin for Beetroot and The Head Roaster, which is as close as you'll get to the title track of that CD, which is simply called Dukin. And the Battlefield Band is on the road again, as they so often are, with festival dates across Britain throughout the summer. See the show notes at folkcast.co.uk for a link to their website and all the details. And the Battlefield Band is well worth seeing, I can assure you, as is this next band. Tanglefoot are from Canada, and they'll be playing 27 dates across the UK in May and June. Again, full details via our show notes. So let's have one from them. With Whiskey Trick, this is Tanglefoot.
We've been working all week and the boys need a drink. A couple quarts of whiskey, we'd be in the pink. But we got no money and there's nothing to sell. And a lumberjack's credit is worthless.
Long months we've been cutting down the pine, but we won't get our money for 6 weeks' time. Tonight there's no whiskey, says young Willie Klein, and we've got no money to spend. I says, fetch me a kettle and a lesson you'll learn how a clever lumberjack keeps the money that he earns. Old Keller taught me this, now I'll teach you in turn. We're off to McCafferty's bar.
We've been working all week and the boys need a drink. A couple quarts of whiskey, we'd be in the pink. But we got no money and there's nothing to sell. And a lumberjack's credit is worthless.
The bar with young Willie in tow, the kettle in hand, to McCafferty I go. We'll be needing some whiskey for the boys, don't you know? 3 quarts in the kettle, if you please. McCafferty pours a us 3 quarts neat. Then we tell him we'll come back and we'll pay him in a week. Says he, stupid lumberjack, you got some cheek. And he takes his 3 quarts back.
We've been working all week and the boys need a drink. A couple quarts of whiskey, we'd be in the pink. But we got no money and there's nothing to sell. And the lumberjack's credit is worthless.
Do you think a lumberjack is no brain and all brawn? Are you thinking that the drink we got was all gone? Well, we had 2 quarts of water and the kettle all along.
And what's left is 3/5 whiskey. We've been working all week, now boys, have a drink. Here is your whiskey, now we're in the pink. We'll drink even when there's no money about. For a sly lumberjack gets his whiskey without. We've been working all week, now boys, have a drink. Here is your whiskey, now we're in the pink. We'll drink even when there's no money about. For a sly lumberjack gets his whiskey without.
Okay, we've done the English hornpipe thing, yeah. We've done the Australian transportation thing, check. We've done the Scottish, Irish and Canadian thing, yeah. So, well, we're already going around the world quite well. But here's the official Around the World in 80 Folks entry for this week. From Austria, but singing in German, this is psychedelic folk band Yartel with the traditional Tyrolean folk song Es ist Widerspelt, which, of course, translates as, it is playful.
Himmel, es ist verspielt. Ich kann nicht mehr lang leben. Der Tod steht vor der Tür. Will mir den Abschied geben. Meine Lebenszeit ist aus, ich muss aus diesem Haus. Meine Lebenszeit ist aus, ich muss aus diesem Haus. Sabel und quer und alle meine Kleider. Ich bin kein Kriegsmann mehr. Ich bin ein Leider. Ich bin verlassen ganz vom römischen Kaiser Franz. Ich bin verlassen ganz vom römischen Kaiser Franz. Thank you. Himmelsfrau, du Königin Maria, auf dich ich jetzt vertrau. O Jungfrau Maria, o liebe Frau, ich bitte, verlass den Sandtritt. O liebe Frau, ich bitte, verlass den Sandtritt.
Modern twist on a traditional folk song from the Tyrol, and not an Umpar band or Julie Andrews to be heard. That was Jartl with Es ist Widerspelt from their new album Lichtbuch, or Lightbook. You might have loved that, or you might have hated it, but at least you can now say that you've heard Tyrolean psych trad folk, and I bet that wasn't the case before you stuck Folkcast in your ear. Unless you're a psych folky from the Tyrol, of course. And because we've got thousands of listeners all around the world, that's not beyond the bounds of possibility. If you want to see where at least a few of our listeners call home, take a look at our Frapper map, which you can find on the Folkcast website. Why not add your own marker and a photo, so that we can all have a laugh at you too? Hang on, oh, I've got another message coming in from Ken, this time by Semaphore. Oh, where are my binoculars? Right, here we go. Right, that's a G, an E, T, O, N, W, I, T, H, I, T, Y, O, U, D, I, C, K, H. Oh, yeah, all right, I get the message. Get on with it. Okay. Well, we're getting towards the end of the show anyway, but there's still time to squeeze in a few more songs before our time is up. Oh, yeah, and time is an issue for Folkcast because we limit the length of each show so that they can be burned onto one standard 80-minute CDR. Why not try that for yourself at home and build up your own Folkcast CD collection? All the old shows, all 28 of them, are available in our online archive. Download them and burn away.
My town helped to build the world, my town. My town helped to build the world, my town. My town made the tools and steel with the mill, the forge and the grinding wheel. My town helped to build the world, my town. All the factories been closed down in my town. All the factories been closed down in my town. Now shopping centres fill the ground where working men could once be found. All the factories been closed down in my town. Now they're trying to change the face of my town. Now they're trying to change the face of my town. They're pulling all the landmarks down, they're raising buildings to the ground. Now I can hardly find my way around my town. My town helped to build the world, my town. My town helped to build the world, my town. My town made the tools and steel with the mill, the forge and the grinding wheel. My town helped to build the world, my town. My town helped to build the world, my town. My town helped to...
I recall the times when I was young. Factory lines and people I have known. Time and place we'd go, a city that I know, I recall. I recall the days when we were young, but production lines and people we had known. Working till the dawn and walking home so cold. And I recall I remember holidays for free with family and friends down by the sea. I remember those who sometimes never rose. I recall now it seems so long ago from then. Nobody I know now still remains. The factories close down and people go to ground. And I recall I recall the day we won the game. And I could tell you every player's name. They've closed down the ground and moved.
Ah, duo of songs full of reflections on home. You've just heard Scully and John and In My Town. And before that it was My Town by Philip Hartley. Londoner Scully and John has been making music of all kinds for more than 20 years, but says he's now gone back to my roots and those of my father. I'm sure he talks just like that. And I'd say he's making a pretty good job of it. And the same can be said for fellow British artist Philip Hartley, who got in touch with us so we could send his music out around the world. Glad to oblige, Phil. And that's it. Another Folkcast in the bag. As always, we say thanks to those who helped us with the music. That's Woven Wheat Whispers, the Podsafe Music Network, Iota Promenade, MySpace, and the individual artists and bands themselves. Remember to check out the show notes at folkcast.co.uk for all the details of who, what and when as regards the music that we've played this month. And if you've anything you want to say about the music or about Folkcast, do get in touch. Again, details of how to do that are on the website, as is everything you need to know about getting your music to us for inclusion in a future show. Folkcast 030 will escape onto the internet on or about June the 7th, and I hope that by then Ken will have returned. Oh, and don't forget that his Steel Eye Spam Tour Diary podcast is also available for download. That's full of backstage stories, gossip, musical trivia, and moans about rubbish hotels. You can find all that at folkcast.co.uk. And to take us out this month is a stunning song from Alistair Merrick and Robert Hitchin, two people together who are collectively known as Six People Away. Now, I don't understand that either, but I do get the music, which is lush, deep, and luxuriant. Bit like a shagpile carpet. And we all love a good shagpile, right? Yes? No? Oh, well, anyway, this will be Six People Away and Nightlight. So, until next time, this is Phil Widows flying solo and reminding you to keep focused on Folkcast. Bye-bye!
I can't sleep till I see the rising sun. Comforts me to know another day's begun. 'Cause time keeps its promise each new dawn. And those we break amongst ourselves won't stop it moving on. Keep your light on. Keep your eyes on. when the world's at your feet, it starts biting at your heels, and you've barely got time to look and see what each new day reveals. What's for you won't pass without making itself known. There's no questions to ask, just notice what you're showing.